The Mandalorian was here.
Two share a strong bond. And he brought him a gift.
Sometimes I wonder if his heart is in it.
So much like your father.
What should I do about him?
Trust your instincts.
What's up, everybody? You're listening to the What's On Your Mind podcast. As always, I'm your host, Dre Emerson, and welcome back to the show. Now, today is a special episode because joining me today, officially, for the first time, my new co-host, old man Sean Art. What's going on, Sean?
Hello. Thank you, man. I'm ready.
All right. Sounds good. Old man Sean. So, Sean, for everyone that's listening, Sean is an avid movie, comic, pop culture savant, just like me. And we both always are going at each other's opinion. So, you know, we figure what better way to go at each other than to talk about the things we love and hate on this platform.
And you got to add that, you know, we're from almost different eras in
And that's the key thing. So different eras, comparing to each other's opinion. That's why we always butt heads, because he, you know, he's old, I'm a little young, and, you know, it's a lot of contrast.
For everybody out there, Dre don't like old people.
I'm trying to think of the term for it.
The phobia.
Old people phobia, man. I can't stand
babies it. And old people, and you know, but we're gonna change that.
All right, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. All right. As always, make sure you guys follow us on Twitter and IG at Player Circle with a Z. That is Players with a Z. And always send us in some mailbag questions to answer the show. You never know when we might choose your question and go butt heads on that one. So,
right.
Today's show is a big one because today we are talking about the epic Book of Boba Fett, which is streaming on Disney Plus right now. The season finale is upon us next week, and I couldn't be more excited about it. Later on the show, we're talking some NFL news, some unfortunate breaking headlines that has come out from that specter. With Brian Flores and his latest lawsuit. And then we're going to close out the show with some little quick news reactions. Batman trailers, latest Batman trailer, Washington Commanders. Funny ring to it. We'll see how that turns out.
I got a lot to say on that.
All right. So, Sean, before we get into the show, I think we should talk a little bit about how we met. I think our listeners would love to hear how we came together during our dark times at our old job and how the idea for this formed.
Right. But I would think that it would be better if you lead it off, because you're a good, you know, good jump off. You're a good jump off, so I'm gonna let you lead it off, and then I'll jump in and, you know,
fill us
clarify different things. Yeah, exactly. Okay.
All right, so for everyone that's listening, me and Sean, we work together at, do we want to say the place? Yeah, all right, we're going to leave that. We ain't shouting them out or nothing. We worked at a place, absolutely hated it. Me and Sean was like the only, two out of four Black people on the team, so that's probably why they paired me and you up.
You know what? Let me jump in right there. I wanted to say that, but I didn't know if you was going to pick that up, but, you know, it seems like that's always the case.
It's always the case.
But here's a funny thing I want to add for you for on.
Okay.
Dre come in, I'm an old dude, so I reference old references. He come in like the Invisible Man from the 1960s, all masked up, you know, Scully hat. You can't see nothing but his eyes. Yep. You know, all Dallas Cowboy, decked out. And I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan, so I said, look, I ain't gonna like this dude, period. I'm just joking. No, and you know, you were sitting over there quiet and chill. And you know what? I said, they're going to pair us together later on in the, you know, later on when you get to feel everything, and sure enough, every time we go out, we was together. Yep. So that's how we kind of linked up and started, you know, exchanging ideas and found out we had a lot of things in common. So I'll let you take it off of there.
Do you even remember like the first like movie or whatever we talked about, like the first big game we discussed? Okay.
I sure do, because it hurt my feelings and I'm still hurt to this day. Little Things with Denzel Washington.
Man, hey, look. So this is a funny story. I literally shot, supposedly had the whole team turned against Sean.
Against me. He had me, what they say these days, canceled.
Yep.
He had me canceled, really. And I was sitting around. I'm going to tell you how it started off, first of all. Dre, I was watching Little Things, and I finished it. And Dre, I saw Dre on Facebook saying, how was Little Things? And my comedy is kind of cynical. So mm-hmm. I put on his page, it sucked. Or it was trash. But if you don't know me, you will take that as some kind of deep negative thing. But I was being funny. Which at the same time. Yeah. But anyway, I think that will trigger you. And you could change it. I didn't say trigger, you know, because I don't know these, you know, I'm still filling out these, you know, the words and things mm-hmm. that people say these days. But I think that's the thing that really, like, you know, gave you a sense that you knew where I was going with things.
Right.
And you can add to that.
Yeah, it was like, you know, I saw it and I was like, man, here this dude go, man. He always just hating on something. Always hating, and just immediately. Because I feel like we had like little general discussions. Like, and you, every time I ask you a question, you're like,
it was trash.
It was trash. It was trash. That's your favorite thing to say. It's trash. I'm like, all right. Then soon I saw the, it's something, I'm like, oh, man. So here we go. So then I remember we was at the our place of work, talking about it. And then what did I say? I forgot how the whole situation happened.
When I walked up and I said, "Hey, how y'all doing?"
Yeah.
And everybody like walked away from me and like I was Charlie Brown.
Right.
I was like, I don't know. He was like, "No, oh, this is what you said." He was like, "Man, I can't deal with you, man. Man, you so negative, man. I can't deal with you, man." I said, "What's going on here?" I said, "What's going on?" And I went to my next coworker. Man, Sean, what's going on with you, man? You are this and that. You negative this and that. I said, what? I said, yesterday I was like the Fresh Prince of Bel Air in this bitch.
Feeling and good.
Now y'all just shunning me. So I was like, okay. And so later, you know, as the day progressed, I find out that it was all about that post or all about that subject about that movie. And I kept trying to plead to the courts. I was just playing. That's the way I talk. I was being cynical, but it was a joke. And, you know, it was.
Everybody took it around with it.
Not funny, huh?
I said, everybody took it around with it.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You actually had a following. You was like Jesus in that moment. Everybody was following you around. Yo, Sean, you like Judas or something. I was like, okay, whatever. And it took a while for me to get back where I was. And I was... That is, and I want to add, that is how powerful personal opinion and getting the jump on everybody and words can be to people, you know, so.
And you know, you know what it really was?
What's that?
I saw you, I came in, I saw you, I looked at you, sized you up. I said, man, look at this guy right here. I saw you had like a little gravitas around you, you know, people like, oh, they're going to shine, you know? And you know what I had to do? I had to knock you off your block.
You want to tear it down.
I had to tear it down, man. I had to knock you off your block, man. I had to take over.
I.E. hate it.
Man, I ain't gonna call it that. I call it like Boba Fett, man. You know, I had to come in, take it over, become the daimyo. The daimyo.
Yeah, and true. Everybody's eating. But I love that, you know, it's almost checks and balances on people. You know, it's how people can get complacent and think their way is law and their way is the way. You can always talk the way you want to talk. And you come in and you deconstructed everything that I put out there.
Man,
that's okay.
I was wilding in that job.
And I said, okay, this is a formidable adversary. I said, okay.
But yeah, man, in all seriousness, you know, it turned out real good because became a good friend and we always had great conversations while we was there. It made the day way better because that place sucked.
Right. And that's the beauty of not prejudging things and letting things play out and totally listening to people You edit that out. But that's the beauty of okay, go ahead and talk. Now I'll get back to you.
Oh, you wanna just like wrap up right here or just go straight into it?
Yeah, I want to say that's the beauty of not canceling people or prejudging and stuff like that, because it developed into something, you know. I consider you a good friend now.
Yeah.
And that's awesome, because we do have a lot of things in common. We do play around with, you know, jokes and things we used to do in the past and stuff like that. And that's awesome. I think, and I have a great respect for you.
Hey, man, same this way, man. Like I said, glad to have you on the show. It's been a long time coming, and I think everyone's ready now, man. I think everyone's ready to hear about this book of Boba.
Let's not get all teary-eyed.
No sentimental, man. I know you're over there on the cognac, man. You might be crying over there, tearing up, man.
No, not today. But when we get in the Book of Boba Fett, I may shed some tears. But
all right, man. All right. So like we said, we're talking Book of Boba Fett on today. Let's just get right into it. So for people that don't know, this is going to be, obviously, we're talking about the Book of Boba Fett, everything that's been happening so far up into the series. The latest episode is Chapter 6. And yeah, we're just going to talk about pretty much everything. We're going to give our thoughts and opinions about it. So it is going to be spoilers in there, so if you don't, I'm playing the spoiler warning right now. If you don't want to hear these stuff, you don't want to spoil, skip to the next conversation. Brian Flores. All right, so quick little synopsis of the series. Sean, you can, you know, go ahead, add in stuff whenever you feel like need to be if I'm missing things.
Okay, so, most definitely.
The Book of Boba Fett is a thrilling Star Wars adventure which finds our legendary favorite bounty hunter, fan favorite Boba Fett, and mercenary Fennec Shand navigating the galaxy's crime world and inner workings when they return to the sands of Tatooine to stake their claim on a territory once ruled by Jabba the Hutt and his crime syndicate, which Fett has now taken over. So the series takes us through multiple flashbacks of Fett like 5 years ago from the present time in the series, beginning with Fett escaping a Sarlacc pit, and because of his weakened state, he got robbed of his gear, lost all his armor, and he's taken hostage by the Tusken Raiders. So eventually Fett forms a bond with the Raiders and began to learn their ways as well as help them with their problems. And now in present time, we see Fett clearly impacted by his time with the Raiders and is trying to navigate and reconstruct what Jabba has once done on Mos Espa, which is on Tatooine. And he's kind of run into some problems. A lot of people don't respect his rule. There are more still scattered Jabbas who also has some cousins that came back and tried to make their stake for the claim. So now Fett is overcome with a lot of challenges, whereas he's got to get the respect of the people, he got to change and reconstruct the land, and he's trying to make the world a better place, basically. And that is basically what is the Book of Boba Fett. Other than,
but do you really think he's trying to make the world a better place, or he's trying to? Because I'm kind of cloudy on what his motives are.
Yeah, it's not really clear. I mean, you know, you can see through the flashbacks and stuff like he's learning this way, and he sees the problems that's going on in the world. He sees how it's affecting the people, not only on, you know, with the Raiders, just, you know, just people in general, people losing lives, innocent lives. And I just think when he comes to Mos Espa, he wants to rule the world. He sees a vision of the world. And that vision, you know, I feel like it was impacted by his time with the Tusken Raiders. And that is a vision just, you know, because I know we're going to get into a lot of stuff that's happened in the series. We know that the Tusken Raiders, his tribe was wiped out. So I feel like he saw what happened with that, and that, you know, clearly impacted him. And now he's trying to make the world, like I said, a better place, because he don't want what happened to the Tusken Raiders to happen again.
So he wants like one rule over everything.
Yeah, he basically just wants to get everything ordered. He sees the spice as like a bad thing. That's what I'm getting. Like, he sees like the things that happen because of the spice and the troubles that comes with it and what troubles it's going to bring to the land of, you know, the planet. And he's just, you know, trying to get rid of all that. And trying to make the world a better place for everybody that's living there.
So you're trying to heal the world like Michael Jackson?
hey, there you go, man. Hey, please, for all the young listeners, don't get confused if Sean does like some little old references and stuff, because sometimes I don't get them either.
And that's what Google is for.
And I didn't even say, because I feel like this is just a whole different conversation, that we basically got Prelude, we got Mandalorian season 2.5 basically within the series as well. And that's a whole nother issue that we're going to get into. Do you want to get into it now?
No, let's play by the numbers. Let's keep it on track.
I'm about to say, I mean, if you want to, I mean, we can get into it.
But, I lead by emotions mostly.
Yeah, so
I'm going to be structured today. So let's rock it.
So that's basically everything. Pretty much a big, you know, synopsis of what's going on. So my big first question to you, Sean, is what are your initial thoughts, your instant reactions, basically just how you feel about the series, hot, cold, in between, like where you at with it?
Okay, this is
it working with you? Yeah, go ahead.
I think it exists just to say Boba Fett has his own series, but I feel that there's no need for the series, because the proof is in the last two episodes. Because I think a lot of people will agree the last two episodes were the best episodes in this whole series. Without and question. Boba Fett had about 2 to 5 minutes in each one of those.
Yep, maybe even less than that.
So that is proof that the series don't need to exist. My thing is, it would have been I think they should never made a Boba Fett series, and should have made a Fennec Shan. What? How do you say her name?
Shan. I think.
Fennec Shan series, because she connects both of the universes together.
True.
I think that would have been a better idea. The way they did Boba Fett, they kind of hobbled him with the Mandalorian.
Yeah.
There's no need for him to exist, because the Mandalorian is everything he is.
That's true.
You know, that's my opinion.
Okay. All right. So for me, I think just where I stand on the show, I get what you're saying. Overall, as a whole, I love the show. Like, as in, it's probably only one episode that I really just didn't really care for. And that was the episode of, not that I didn't care for it, but I just felt like it was badly placed. And that's the episode when they're describing how Fett and Shan, you know, connected and met, and how they had to get his armor back and his shit back, blah, blah, blah. I feel like that could have been the episode, because it is an important story to feel like how they came to. I feel like it was some unnecessary scenes in there for sure.
I think they should have did all that in the first episode.
That's what I'm getting at. That could have either been, if you didn't want to put it in the first episode, it could have been in the second episode. But like, to have it like get into the point where it's in the part of the season where you feel like things should be turning up some more, that was like the one episode I just didn't really care for.
And I agree with you. They should have just, how he was always flashing back.
Yeah.
They could have chopped that up in two episodes and got that out of the way, and made that episode a very pivotal thing in this whole Boba Fett lore. But all that was is just filler. You can cut that out and you'll be good.
Yeah. Like I said, that was like the one episode. But overall, the series has been good, because every episode to me has been good. Like, you're seeing how it's a great storytelling, even though it's not like, I think we can both agree it's not like properly done well, but it is good storytelling to see how Boba Fett has come to, like what he's been up to. And you're trying to see a little bit more about this, you know, big character that everyone like cares about. And I just want to say real quick, I'm not like one of those people that's like big on Boba Fett. Like, I didn't really too much care for him. So when the series first like premiered and stuff, I was like late to the party of like even watching it, because you know, I know he was like a big dang, you know, what movie was he first in? Was it
Empire Strikes Back? And he was kind of a mysterious character. He was a bounty hunter on the deck of the Death Star. When you saw, he had an iconic look that made him stand out. And when he, you know, if you're familiar with the movie, you'll understand why Boba Fett, you know, people hunger for more Boba Fett.
Right.
So, but you have to look at The Empire Strikes Back to get that nostalgia for the character.
To understand why he was just so important to bring back now.
Right. Because truth be told, George Lucas has a habit of introducing, you know, powerful characters and just giving them corny endings. Like, you know, Darth Maul, it's no secret, Darth Maul gets cut in half, disappears. But yeah. I understand the Clone Wars, he comes back. So I'm not really, you know, versed in the Clone Wars, so I'm not going to go into that. But, you know, Boba Fett, he was, what's up with Boba Fett? He the one to track Han Solo and the Millennium Falcon to Cloud City. Right. We wanted more of him. But in Return of the Jedi, you know, if you saw the movie, you know how he dies. He falls in the Sarlacc pit. And the way he does it is kind of comical. And it's not really, like, really fulfilling. So all this time, 20, 30 years later, we wanted what's up with Boba Fett. We want more Boba Fett. So that leads us to here.
Right.
Like, we wanted more ruthless Boba Fett. You know, that bounty hunter with no heart and stuff like that, but we get this other guy.
And that character, and like I was saying, that character, I wasn't like, he died, it just wasn't my thing. Like, I know they had like the action figure line, and I know he's like a real popular, I just wasn't, even when I watched the old movies, his character just wasn't popping out to me. Now, I will say, my favorite action figure character when I was a kid, and he's still to this day, I still have this action figure to this day, Dr. Alan Grant from Jurassic Park. Love that character.
See, anyway, I'm not a Jurassic Park dude.
You're missing out, dude. And then they're bringing him back in the new movie too. I can't wait.
Oh, but yeah.
But before I get...
let's get sidetracked.
Because I will get sidetracked on that. I love Dr. Alan Grant. But yeah. But getting back to Boba Fett, yeah, he wasn't, and just how I feel about it. I didn't really care for it, but then I got into it. And I feel like, and another thing I don't really enjoy too much when they do it in shows is like keep flashing bats, because I do like some shows are like horrible at it, where you can get to this one point in the flashback or in the show in the present time where he's getting real good, and then it goes boom to the other part, and it just like messes up the whole scene, the whole emotions that you was feeling from the show, and you know, gets let down, kind of like what they're doing in Euphoria, but that's a whole different other discussion. But I think with this one, they do it really good, because all this stuff is like central to the character that Boba Fett is, where he's get taken in by the Tusken Raiders. They give him a chance to escape, but he couldn't. But he then gains their respect because he saved them from what they were shooting. No, he saved them from the animal that was about to kill them or something.
Spice train.
Yeah, that was about
the
to kill.
Spice train. That was their main
respect. Yeah. And so. Yeah. He gains their respect, he gets welcomed into the tribe, and you see how he's incorporating all that into the present time and the situations that he's dealing with. So I think it's a good series overall, but I do feel kind of lacking. I'm not going to lie. I do feel lacking of Boba Fett, but then I just started to think maybe it's just not much story to Boba Fett other than
that. And that goes back to my point when I said before, there's no need for this series to exist, and the linchpin that connects everything together from Boba Fett to Mandalorian is Fennec Shand. I think they should have went with her as a series. I really do. I enjoy her character. I really do.
Yeah, I enjoy her character, and you know what? And this is like one of my thoughts on it about her character, what I find like really interesting. Like, do you notice like throughout like the series, like you see how she's like, it's not like she's challenging Boba Fett, but she's just like looking at him like, dude, like you're making this way harder for yourself. Like when they said that line, it was like, you need to rule fear. It's way easier. And it just kind of seems like she's just looking at him like, this dude don't know what he's doing. Like she says, oh, in the last one, or the last two episodes, she said, she called him Saul.
And she does it in a respectful way, and I appreciate that. But if you, and a 12-year-old can tell you that, if you're going to run into someone's territory, there's no easy way. There's no clean way to go about that. I give love in this hand, the other hand, I'm going to kill you. You got to be ruthless to establish your line of
your line of order.
You have to. And that's she's like his conscience, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Well, not his conscience, but his.
And this is just like one little, like, could be a far out thought, could it just be all smoke. But I do, if there is going to be another season of this and they're going to continue this, I think what we might see in this last episode, maybe like her turning on him. Maybe Finnis gets tired of Boba and she's just like, look, you're not doing it right. I think I need to be in charge. And she tries to overtake him. Now, it could be a far out, but that's just something that, like, I've definitely been noticing with her. Like, she's just looking at him like, dude, you're making this so hard for yourself.
But for us. Here's the thing. I think she's doing it. She's doing it in a sincere manner, though. She's not doing it like in a look, I want to cut you off at the knees type way. I think she's doing like with all due respect, are you really want to do it this way? Yeah. And for God's sake, she need to tell him, keep your helmet on. Keep it on.
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie, that kind of blows me.
It's hard for me to digest how Boba Fett can turn from this, you know, implied vision in a lot of people's head that he's this ruthless bounty hunter to come in this soft over this period of time. I understand that his time with the Tusken Raiders, it kind of like, you know, gave him a soul, gave him a heart, stuff like that. I understand all that. But still, you still have, you know, those things deep down, those instincts still in you. And he seemed like he's just totally washed up.
So let me ask you this. Do you feel like just like this series as like, I know you do, but like, you could probably kind of go more into a detail about like, feel like this series have basically just ruined the character that is Boba Fett.
Well, considering that we live in a different time, I understand what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
That he's just a victim of what today's norms are. He can't be that guy anymore because those times have came and went. So they don't want him to be this, i.e., you know, toxic kind of character. I think that has a lot to do with it. I'm just going to be honest.
Right.
He gets bound by today's norms and today's progressive thinking. So
okay.
I think this has a lot to do with.
All right.
What do you think?
I mean, like I said, I wasn't too like crazy about his character, but I could see, like, knowing from what I know about him in the movies and all that, like, I'm not too deep in, unless he got some like more like comic books about him and stuff. Like, I'm not too deep in the lore of Boba Fett, but you know, I mean, it is what it is. Like, but you just can't. Mando is just automatically just going to be, you know.
He's what it is. And here's the thing. I'm not upset about this series because they know. I mean, it's like I said. After the second, third episode, I realized there's no reason for this thing to exist. So they like doubled down on that when they introduced The Mandalorian. What was that? Episode 4?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And 4. Episode 5?
Yep.
Watching those two episodes, do you ever think about Boba Fett's trials and tribulations in those episodes? Do you ever think about what does that have to do with Boba Fett? No, you didn't.
I'm completely logged in on what's going on with Mando, Grogu, all that. I'm not even thinking about Boba.
Exactly. So that just doubles down or just solidifies what I'm saying. It has no reason to exist. They should have just did Mandalorian season 2. And let's just jump into these two awesome episodes of.
Okay, before we get into that, we're gonna get into that. But before we get into that, because I got some questions that I want to ask you about that, I want to talk more about the central storyline that's going on in Boba Fett and how you feel about it. So they're going through the war on Mos Espa right now with the Pikes. The Pikes were introduced in the flashbacks where we see as these, you know, you could tell like they're like, and you could tell from the flashbacks that they were going to be central in the present time, what was going on, conflicts, that they were trying to sell spice. Bubba's like, nah, get out of here. And every time you do come through here, you gotta pay some to us. That's what, during this time with the Tusken Raiders. Now we come back in the present time, Bubba's trying to take control of his land and stuff like that. There's a sneaky mayor that's going on who's now went to the Pikes to get help, because now they're going to overthrow what Boba's got going on. So that's kind of basically in a gist what's the storyline going on, how you feel about the Pikes, what do you thoughts on them, thoughts on how you think Boba Fett is going to answer, because now he's done enlisted to this help because they're going into an all-out war. He got the help of, we know, Mando, this cool looking
Wookiee. What is his name? I gotta get his
Kirstan.
The Wookiee?
Yeah, it's like Kirstan or something like that.
Man, that is awesome. I'm a design person. That's an awesome design.
I was surprised. Awesome. I was like, they got black Wookiees? So does that mean Chewie is white or is he black? Or
come on, dude. like brown bears and different.
I mean, I'm just saying they got like a different, like a whole, like a black Wookiee. So like,
look, he is badass. I'm just gonna say it. And I mean, they should have done more with that.
I think it's important to kind of like, you know, just real quick talk about, I mean, it is Black History Month. Like, dude, like, do they have to go do like some little Wookiee slavery type stuff going on? Oh, like, do the black Wookiees get looked at down like by the brown Wookiees? Like, what's going on?
He's not a black. I don't consider him a black Wookiee. I just think he's just like different people have different characteristics, like light skin, like dark skin.
That's what I'm saying. He's a whole different race. He's a whole different race inside a race.
Well, you know, I would say species like the Predator. I mean, you're familiar with the Predator movies, there's different species in the Predators, but they're all the same. You know, some are taller, some are darker and stuff like that.
I might be going too deep into it. But
yeah, talk the about gist me is, over here. I was like, what? That's it. Okay.
The gist is, dude is hard and dude looks ruthless. Dude is a killer. Now, you know, he has some little conflict with Fett, but now he's helping them along with some other people. And we see in one scene where Fett is telling like these, he's at this dinner table of like other crime bosses or whatever. He's telling them, look, if you don't want to help me before these Pikes take over, just don't get involved. Stay out of it. But now it looks like it's going to be this crazy all-out war. And, you know, that's where we're coming to in this last episode. So just how you feel about that storyline in general?
It doesn't affect me like really in a significant way. I think that's, you know, like Godfather or Goodfellas, that's the antagonist thing that they bring into it, like crime families fighting over territory. So I don't really feel I don't have any deep opinion about that, because they got one episode. So what are they gonna do? Throw all that stuff in a gumbo and get it all in one episode? There's so many things they haven't answered yet. But yeah, they're supposed to go to war after one episode. I really don't. I'm really not looking forward to it, because I know I don't. I'm just still trying to digest what they're trying to. What's the whole point of the whole series? Yeah, so now I understand he's supposed to take over Jabba's territory. But still, I'm still trying to figure out why that's important.
Yeah, why that's important. The series, and like we've been talking about, the series kind of I don't want to say devalue. Like, I don't want to say devalue, because that's too strong of a word. But it sort of does devalue Fett, and the series doesn't do him justice to like paint this storyline what it was, because it could be a good storyline. It could be like I said, it could be a good, you taking over this power, you enlisting this help, and it could be a good story, but they just don't do a good job detailing and filling in the blanks for you to get to that point of wanting to see it. It's very rushed.
You know what I feel? I think it's more, the show's like a safari. Like, oh, I seen those type of creatures in Empire Strikes Back. I seen that in episode one. I saw that in something else. Like, you know, it's like almost a safari. You know, you see the Gomorian guards. Okay. You see different things, but they're just there.
We're in a galaxy far, far away. We've seen a whole bunch of different things.
In a galaxy far, far away, they're still in this vacuum of the same creatures, the same band, the same everything. This is the galaxy is infinite, basically. But we still see these same creatures. I can't get over that. And that's the problem with the whole Star Wars lore, period. After episode six, there's no growth.
Yeah. I think that's fair to say.
And I'm just sick of seeing the same creatures.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, but what's the obsession with these the aliens with the two not horns in their head, but the different colors and stuff like that? What's the obsession with them? You know what I'm talking about? The ones that's always gambling and about the erotic entertainment and stuff like that. What's up with them? Why are they always everywhere? Different colors and stuff like that. I don't understand them.
Like you said, it's different species within the species, like the Predator.
Okay. But I'm just saying
I get what you're saying though. Okay, yeah. Well, so how do you feel about the mob people? Because that's kind of new.
Oh yeah, the crime table. Yeah. It was pretty. I liked it. I like that scene. I really liked it.
No, and, the people with the cybernetic stuff on them.
The mods.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. When they pulled up, they were kind of corny. I ain't gonna lie. They were corny. When they pulled up, they were corny. But as the show progressed, I don't have a problem with them because there's always
little background characters,
like Misfit teens somewhere, and that just shows there's always a rebellious group of teens somewhere. I mean, even in space and outer space and galaxies far, far away, there's young people. They're going to do what they're going to do and develop their own culture and things like that. So I think it's a kind of a good thing to introduce in that.
Yeah. No, I really enjoyed the characters. And I think they did, play a little central role to just like a little bit of Bubba's, development, how we see like why he's doing things. Because you see that they're like, he's like, oh, why are you still in the water and stuff like that? They're like, well, because we're getting charged out of our mind for this. And it's just like, it's water. I mean, they're on Tatooine, so water's hard to come by, obviously. But it's just like, it's this incredible tax on it, and it's hard to come by. And Fett sees that, and he's like, this is a problem. This is a problem for the world.
Yeah, that's like a Robin Hood kind of thing that was going by, stuff like that.
And, he sees it, he respects it, and he brings him in. He's like, look, I respect it. I kind of respect it, but let's do it an honorable way. Let's do it the right way.
But is there an honor amongst thieves? Really? That's the thing that's really throwing me. He's trying to be this, I guess he's being a politician, the raw form of politician.
Yeah.
That you say things that make people come in, but you all about this ill stuff. So, let me digest that and I'll get back to you on that. But yeah.
Okay. All right. So I think it's finally time to talk about, I think, what we really want to touch on. The real show within the show. The real thing, the prelude to season 3 of The Mandalorian. In chapters 5 and 6, we get Mando and we get... No, we didn't get Grogu to chapter 6, but we got Mando in 5. Two great episodes, amazing episodes. We see what Mando's up to after he got the Darksaber. We see he's having a little control using it because... what is not fully his yet, or he just hasn't really hasn't learned how to use it, basically. And it's a telling story because I think they did this because when we get Mandalorian season 3, I think they just really want to jump right into it. Because last we see is Grogu going off with Luke Skywalker to learn the ways of the Force. And we're like, oh, I don't think they really wanted to go too long in season 3 without Mando and Grogu being apart. And so now I think they kind of just want to, boom, give a little prelude, jumpstart it to, now we're in this incredible decision that Grogu has to make, whether to choose attachments, choose his love for Mando, all that, or separate himself from that and go to the Force. Now, before we even get to that, we see Mando having to come to terms, and he learns like he's basically what it was like disbranded from the ways of the Mandalorian because he took off his helmet.
Right.
And that's a big thing. That's a big thing. So now he wants to wash and redeem himself. And he goes, he got to get a new ship, which was cool because I love that character. The lady with all the robots. I love her character. I love seeing her in the shows. Always enjoy her.
She's cool. She's like that character in like video games. You go to the little house and they say what you want to buy and stuff like that.
Get your upgrades. She's upgrading. And it's always a funny scene. Like in this one, when we see her, she talks about a little fling that she has with some of the Jawas. And you know, it's all fun. I love every scene that she be in. But we see Mando's going through this quick little journey. He's realized, all right, I gotta redeem myself, I gotta get a brand new ship. I'm missing my boy. He's going through like a little crisis, midlife crisis. He wants to go see his little boy. So he's like, man, let me get my stuff together. We see the people, the other Mandalorians, like that we saw were kind of against the, the lady? Bantu? It's like, I can't think of her name, but she had like the orange hair in the season 2 of the Mandalorian.
The one that acquired the sword.
Yeah.
Without combat, I don't know her name off the top.
I can't think of the name, but we see, you know, the old Mandalorians that Mando initially comes across, and we know that they don't like her ways because they see it as a bad way for the way of the Mandalorian. And so we got this one big dude that's like, yo, like he's trying to size up Mando. And I was like, yo, I don't think you deserve that sword, bro. Like, I'm just looking at this dude. And I'm like, yo, do he know who Mando is? Like, is he for real right now?
First of all, he come with Mando like all like deep respect, like, oh, you good. And all this time he wanted that sword.
All this time he big Hayden in the inside. Like, and did you know that character was actually Jon Favreau?
Oh, I did.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. A little son. I thought that was cool for him, you know, putting himself in there. But yeah, this dude, like, he's sizing up Mando. Like, dude, what's up with you, bro? Like, he talking about, man, you know, I don't think you deserve it. I think it belongs to me. I got, claim to it with my heritage and stuff like that. I'm just like, all right, you know, we all know what happens. Mando gives him the work, even though not with the Darksaber, though. He had to give him, you know, the old Mando work. Get his sword back, get his dad back. Right now, he's going on his journey to go see Grogu. And that's where we are in the latest episode with Grogu. And it's such a great episode. I'm talking about, I'm locked in from the soon as I saw Grogu, I was locked in.
But didn't I tell you? Going on.
It was good.
But didn't I tell you? But sometimes when I tell you things, I'm wrapped up in my feelings about, you know, being, you know, we have different kind of like, you know, certain things we like and dislike in the comic and
yeah,
you know, anime world. But I told you it was awesome.
Dude,
and it was awesome.
They had me. It was compelling TV. You're looking at Grogu's going through, so he's going through his Jedi training. And I just want to add, like, Luke's being kind of a dick trainer. Like, he just immediately zaps him with the, like, dang, don't even, like, oh, I'm going to train you, jump. He's like, jump, you're not even jumping right. Like, Luke's a little bit harsh, but, you know, he's getting that good old.
I don't think so. That's where the value of digesting the whole Star Wars, you know, lore comes into play, because Luke's not really a nice guy.
He's not.
He's not a nice guy. So
kind if of you asshole, understand yeah.
that, yeah, if you understand that, you can digest what he's doing. He has little patience, and he's just not a nice dude.
Yeah, he's like one of those hard coaches that you be seeing in sports now that, you know, they be like, man, I got to coach you with fear and stuff like that, boy. If you don't go do this and that, I'm taking your scholarships away. He's one of those, man.
But what he's trying to do is trying to jolt him back to the ways of what he used to be, because he's traumatized.
Yeah, but he's a kid. He's a baby.
He's not a baby. That dude is 50 years old.
He's still a baby. He's still a baby. Look, he can't even talk.
Grogu need that work. He need to get out of that. He need to get on and move forward. And Luke trying to like jolt him back in that so he can get on his path.
Luke's being a little bit harsh. That's all I got to say about it. He could be a little bit nicer to the little boy, but it was...
Luke, Luke has never been that kind of guy. He's always been sarcastic, little patience, and all about, you know, here and now. So he's trying to train him in the best way he can. And he's trying to do it, you know, he's probably not doing it in the best way. I'll agree with you on that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I just think that's Luke.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Okay, so
you just got deep feels for the Grogu. That's all, man.
He's so adorable, man. That's my world, man. But that's going to lead us to one of my first burning questions that I have for you. I want to know your opinion on. Now, in chapter 6, in the episode, we see one of my favorite Jedi, Ahsoka, come back, and she's with Luke for a little bit, and she's explaining to Mando, like, hey, like, if you go see Grogu right now, you're going to mess up his training. And Mando got this little uniform, that little chain armor, little drip that he wanted to give to little old Grogu. Little drip, you know what I'm saying? Little drip. He wanna have Grogu push and pee. But
question mark.
Go ahead. But yeah, Ahsoka's like, oh yeah, I give it to him and we're gonna basically give him the decision. So we see Ahsoka give the armor to Luke, and then Luke presents it to Grogu with a burning question. Like I said, do you want to follow the ways of the Force, or do you want to go back to Mando? So this is my burning question. Oh yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta add, it's in a ritualistic way.
Yeah.
You know.
Because they have to give away attachment.
Right. And not even that. Choose it two kind of religions. This is what I get out of it. And I sent you a link about Shogun Assassin.
Yep.
That's what it referenced to me. Like, choose the ball and go be sentimental and be a normal person, or choose the sword and take up the fight, you know, for the galaxy or Jedi ways and stuff like that.
Yeah. It's a tough decision that Grogu is placed upon. And it burns my soul, because I'm just like, and here's my question. Like, do the ways of the Force needs to be changed?
Well, you know,
is there not like a way? Like, is there, because my thing is, look, like, so we know that the Jedi sees attachment as, like, you know, it could lead you down a destructive path of becoming evil, a la Anakin Skywalker becoming Darth Vader. He had his attachments.
Ways of the Force. It is.
Yeah. So, because he, like, and even I would say for Luke, because Luke has an attachment. He has an attachment to R2-D2. Yeah. He has a sort of attachment to his sisters, to Han. But right.
That's where the plot holes come into play. But Luke has a compassion for them. And I know he loves them, but the Mandalorian, you can tell this dude, he loves that Grogu like a baby. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He is really sulking over this dude, this little Grogu. And it's really, really in a way that's gonna hobble him, the way he's just gonna be a baby forever. That's why I feel like, you know, if he choose the Mandalorian way, I think he's totally gonna, you know, throw off fighting and war and stuff like that, and being the protection, the total protection of the Mandalorian. But go ahead.
I was just gonna say, really, I just, yeah, pretty much along with what you had gone on about, and dude, I'm just like, man, the Force sucks. Like, I mean, obviously I'm gonna choose the cool ass lightsaber, you know, I can slice people
up. I know you know that Star Wars lore is based on a lot of religious kind of things thrown into it.
Themes and all that.
So, right. And it's based on religion and theology and stuff like that. So when Luke presented him with the choice, to me, it's like saying you can't be a Christian and a Muslim. You got to choose one religion. You got to choose one way to go. You know, that's what I think it is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's how I feel. That's what I got out of it. Because they're both two religions to me. So.
Right. My thing is, like, is there just, like, and you can answer this if you want, or you just blow it away, or whatever. Is there just not a way for attachment to be a thing for Jedi? Because it's just, like, if you just, like, this stone cold, like, do of Jedi, and yeah, you might be doing things, but sometimes your ways is not always the best way. And we see some of that portrayed, like, throughout the whole series as a whole, Star Wars as a whole, whether it's on Clone Wars or it's on, like, the old movies or the new movies. Like, some of these older Jedi that's just like, yo, we got to stick to this way and this way only. Some of the new kind of Jedi that's coming up is like, hey, we can do things a little bit different. Like, you should, like, because I'm just getting into rewatching Clone Wars. And it was this one episode where all the older Jedi is like, no, like, we got to leave this person. They're probably dead, blah, blah, blah. And then here comes Ahsoka, like, yo, like, these people could be alive. I feel like he could be alive. Let's go see. And they actually go see, and they come to find out they're alive. And it's just like these old heads, these old Jedi, they're just so stuck in their ways. The old heads, man. The old heads so stuck in their ways.
But old here's the people. Thing. I think you cannot address that without addressing the close ties to the religion. You know, you have the basic religion, then you have these offshoots of religion to open it up and loosen things up for, you know, different kinds of beliefs in the progressive times. You cannot, you know, I think it all, you have to address that in order to address the Jedi culture. Yes, I think it's kind of like stagnant and out of date. And I think that's what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
But it should be growing for people who, you know, for the time. Like the mods, they're new. I know this has anything to do with the Jedi, but the mods, they're a new kind of crew, new school group of people. So they're not going to go with the same kind of old school traditions and old school lore of Star Wars. They're offshoot. They're young people. They're going to make their own things. So you have to, you know, incorporate that into any kind of storytelling or any kind of like religion or theology and stuff like that. That's what changes things. So what I'm trying to do is I'm agreeing with you that it's kind of like stagnant and it doesn't hold up over time because things have changed and people look at things differently. As far as religion and belief stuff.
Okay. No, I mean, yeah, I definitely.
Am I overreaching a little bit?
I can see where you can get to that point for sure. I mean, it's two different ways of life, basically. When it comes to like becoming a Jedi, like either you gotta choose this way or you gotta choose this way, and that's, you know, that's religion. Like you choosing two different ways to live.
Yeah, and do you have as time goes on, certain things that you couldn't do in the church are allowed. Like that's what you're saying in Jedi cultures. Jedi culture is so rigid that you can't do this, can't do that, you can't do this. But the times of that's what happened to Anakin. If they were incorporated the new school thinking and things like that and did a little bit of dime star psychology, Anakin never would have turned to the dark side. But they're so rigid, they shunned him. Yep. This is the way, that's, you know, but that's another story for another time. But I think we're agreeing with each other on that.
Yeah, no, I think we're definitely on the same thing, on page with that. So before I get into my last question that we're going to talk about, and that's basically just like what we think is going to happen with Grogu at the end, I think it's important to talk about an appearance that happened in the last episode, which was, boom, you know, has social media like buzzing, Cate Bane. Now, in the scene where Mando goes back and he's trying to enlist the help.
Nah, he's gangster. He's
oh, not hard. So in the scene where Mando goes back and we see one of the fan favorites, Cobb Vanth. I don't know how you feel about him. I love the Marshal. I think he's pretty cool. I love his character. We get to see him again. And unfortunately, he has a little tussle after Mando leaves. He's like, all right, basically saying he's basically on the way to saying, yeah, we need to go help them boys out, because he sees what's going on. Like, we see Spice is becoming more involved into the planet, close to his home, and he's like, nah, we don't need that around here in these parts. So he's on the way to basically agreeing, like, going to help Boba Fett and all of them. But then comes Cade Bane, who's basically saying, stay out of it. And then, of course, it got to be the dumb little deputy, the dumb little idiot that wants little to be like, I got him, boss. Little side, like, I got him, boss. Like, let me at him. Like,
hey, he got lit up, too.
Lit up in seconds, like, looking like a fool, man. I'm just like, come on. And then they kill my boy. And then they got my boy caught, which I don't think he's dead.
I don't think he's dead. He's a very valuable piece. And you know, to add to that, I didn't read the whole article, but I think someone, the writer or the creator of the character, was a little bit upset about that scene. But I didn't read that article, so I can't really talk about that too much. But I think they was upset about that.
Scott Van, man, he's dope, man. But we got to see Cade Bane in live action, I don't want to say, but because he's animated, obviously, CGI. But
well, it's still
just,
live action.
Yeah. Just real quick, though, because I want to know, because I know you're a big artistic guy, like, just what you think of his character design, what you think, did they do a good job of him?
Straight off of Clone Wars, man. He was like, you know.
Did he feel as, like, ruthless, like, as he, you know, was in the show? Because I got that.
Look, I don't know too much about him. That made me want to go back and find out about him. So that is a strong thing to incorporate, to put in someone. When you see a character and you don't know about it, you want to go through the backstory. They did their work. It did its job. I want to know what this dude is about. That's all I can say right now.
And you know, he looks hard, and I just can't wait to see like what kind of little more trouble he's about to stir up for Boba Fett, Mando, and the crew. I guess on the season finale that's gonna come on Wednesday. And so with the season finale, and this would probably be like last thing we talk about, but do you think, A, are we going to see Baby Yoda, Baby Grogu, make his decision? And B, with that same question, what do you think he's going to end up taking? Because I have an opinion about it, but I'm going to wait to tell it to hear yours.
I think we're not going to see the opinion, but I think it's obvious that he does not choose the Jedi way, because we never see him in the anything referencing in any kind of lore. Because if he does choose a lightsaber, that introduces a lot of plot holes.
Yeah,
but if he chooses the Mandalorian way, they can make up anything they want to do, anything they want to about his story.
Yeah, I just think there's no way you can do the Mandalorian without Grogu. So right. I think it's, like you said, it's obvious he has to make this choice. But my sneaky suspicion that I feel like is going to happen, I do agree with you. I don't think we might not get it in this last episode. That might just be something that happens in the first episode. But I do think what's going to happen is, yes, he is going to end up choosing Mando. But Luke is going to see that as a good thing. And he's going to say, you know what? It's time we make a change. So I'm gonna make a change around these parts and go ahead and give him the lightsaber and still teaches him the ways of the Force. Full circle, what you think?
Like do a fusion, like a blending of each belief?
Yeah, like that, you know, full circle back to the conversation we just had. I think Luke is gonna look at the old ways and gonna be like, hey, we're doing things wrong here, man. You know, I see you got heart, man. You got it, kid. Let's try your way.
And you know what? That could be the case, because if you look at episode 9? What's the one with, not The Force Awakens, what's after that? Because I really didn't get into those.
After Force Awakens, what, Rise of Skywalker? No, or is that the last one?
Yeah.
The Last Jedi.
If you look at how The Last Jedi played out, that'll make a lot of sense. Because, you know, the Jedi Temple, Luke was in ruin. Something had to happen big time that made Luke be a recluse. So he may choose a lightsaber, and he's the reason why Luke don't train anymore.
Oh yeah, that too. That is a possibility. I think
that might be the tragedy that made him be such a cynic, like a non-believer in the Force and stuff like that. So Who knows? I don't know, man. I really think he's going to choose the Mandalorian way. Because that'll give him an easy out. They don't have to explain a lot of stuff that's going on and what happened in the future. And that they can make up anything they want. So that's what I feel.
I think like both ways, I feel like they got to have both ways. Like, it's no, for the series, for Star Wars in general, like, it has to be both ways at some point. So I am curious to see like how they're going to go about doing it, because he has to still be with Mando, but I think we both feel like he has to start like becoming what he's meant to be and learning the ways of the Force.
But it's obvious that he's not, we talking about this dude like he real, but it's obvious that he's not a warrior.
Right.
Luke's going to. He's not a warrior. He's like I said, he's a kid. He wanted to do kid things. He wanted to eat frogs, play with frogs, and hang out with Mando and have adventures. His heart ain't in it. Because and plus he traumatized, man. The Jedi Temple, man, it got raided. You know, people's getting killed. He saw his homeboys getting gunned down. I mean,
What I'm saying. Like, Luke is like hard. Like, Luke is like, he just showed him that and he's just like, all right, let's get back to training. Like, you just show him like people dying in front of him, like some people that's probably close to him.
A nice guy. That's what everybody needs to erase out of their mind. Luke ain't nice. He is not a nice guy.
Man, all I know is this last episode, it should be good. It should be good. Whether it's good or not, because you know it's probably gonna be some big fight. Whether it's good or not, season 3 of Mandalorian is gonna be fire.
Right, but they got one episode left with Boba Fett. How can they quench all that stuff in? They're totally going to ignore or just bypass the Grogu arc, say that Mandalorian season 3. I really think that's going to happen. And, you know, back to Luke, I'm still chewing on that. That's why Han Solo gets more compassion than Luke, because Han Solo is a nicer guy than Luke.
Mm-hmm.
He has more heart than Luke. He feels more than Luke. Luke don't really care about that much. Ways of the Force, Leia, Chewie, R2, that's it. But Han, he really cares. That's why I think when people talk about Star Wars, Han gets a lot of likes more so than Luke.
Yeah, he got his own movie. I mean, well, Luke's got his own franchise era, but you know, whatever. So last question I got for you, a little simple question, just out of as a whole, not separating the Mando season 2.5 and Boba Fett, as a whole, is this a successful Disney Plus series?
You're saying the book of Boba Fett?
Just, you know, as, you know, in general, with everything including Mando, did you enjoy this series? Is it a success?
Not cherry picking and saying why it is and why it's not?
Yeah.
I say yes. It's successful.
Okay. I think, I'm on the same page. Like I said, I love it. Literally only just that one episode that I didn't like, and that's probably only because it was poorly placed.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah. All right, well, that was that. We're going to take a quick little break, and then we're going to get into our next topic, which is Brian Flores and his lawsuit against the NFL. Y'all stay tuned. All right, guys, welcome back. Like I said, this next topic is a very, very interesting one that's going on right now in the NFL. So if you don't know, if you haven't heard, Brian Flores, former coach for the Miami Dolphins, he was fired from that job after a winning season, which doesn't normally happen. He filed a lawsuit against the NFL saying that basically, it's a class action lawsuit against the league and the other owners, citing racial discrimination. And now that's having people taking a closer look at the NFL's hiring practices. So some things that he alleged in the lawsuit, he said that back when he was trying to basically audition for head coaching for the Denver Broncos, that John Elway and his other associates pulled up to the meeting, inebriated, drunk, all this and that for, and wasn't taking him serious, citing that, you know, they already had their guy, which we ended up being Vic Fangio, who was a horrible coach, definitely not in the same stratosphere as Brian Flores. So then he has that against the Giants. He incriminating. There was incriminating text messages from Bill Belichick, where Bill Belichick is presumably, and this is what we can take from what we've seen, the images and stuff, he is congratulating Brian Flores, who he thought to be Brian DeBole, who is a former assistant coach for, I think, offensive coordinator for the Bills. I think he was offensive coordinator or the defense, but he's one of those coordinators. And the situation with the Giants is they just recently hired the Bills GM. So the Bills GM basically was already planning on bringing in his one of the assistant coaches to be with him on the Giants. And so Bill Belichick sent Brian Flores text messages basically congratulating him before Brian Flores even had the interview, but he was congratulating DeBole instead. And then Brian Flores, that's when he figured out, he's like, oh, this isn't for me. And now he's citing that it's in violation of the Rooney Rule, because with the Rooney Rule, you have to interview minority coaches. Like, you just have to do it. And basically saying that they only interview Flores to fulfill the Rooney Rule, which is a clear violation of the rule. So that is basically in just, oh, and then another thing, and probably the one of the most damning things about just the lawsuit itself and just the situation with the NFL, he cited that the Dolphins owner, Sean Ross,
Steven,
I believe.
Steven Ross.
He cited that pay him to intentionally lose games so that he can get better draft position. So that is basically in just what's going on with Brian Flores. It's a damning situation. It's another situation that the NFL has to deal with. It just seems like they just can't get their hands out of these murky waters with allegations and stuff like that. They already got the whole situation with Washington owner Daniel Snyder, and he's now who has another allegations against
him. Sexual misconduct.
That just came out. They're battling the whole COVID issues and dealing with players like Aaron Rodgers, who's lying to the people and stuff like that. So it's just issues after issues after issues with the NFL, and it just can never just be about the game. So
yeah, it's so deflating too. It's really deflating. It's like I'm losing the love for or my interest for the game after hearing, and you know, about all this. All the things that's going on with it right now.
Yeah.
Which probably been going on for decades, you know?
For decades. And it doesn't seem to change because the owners don't want it to change. That's basically what it is. The NFL, we can't look at Roger Goodell. And I know that's what a lot of people are just immediately doing, like going to Roger Goodell and being like, fix this situation. But he literally can't because he works for the owners. And until the owners like wants to make a change, it's always going to be the racial stuff that's going on within the NFL, because Shad Khan, who's the owner of the Jaguars, he's a minority, but that's, we have no black owners in the NFL.
No.
And so I know you have some questions that you wanted to ask me, but just before you get to those questions, just what's any other thoughts that you have on the situation?
Well, about the being paid to tank the season, I recently come across an article that Dez Bryant kind of like backed that up, because he felt like, I noticed your team, but I'm asking you first. Have you seen that post that Dez Bryant made?
I've seen a lot of posts that Dez Bryant makes, man. I mean, he's
so you don't have no merit in that. He's just a little. You think he's a little salty or what? You just
man. I love Dez Bryant. One of my favorite Cowboys. It was a catch. Dez Bryant got Twitter fingers. Dez Bryant is always tweeting about something, man. It's hard to keep up with him. But there's definitely is merit to, like, the situation itself and, like, being told to, like, lose and stuff. Because then you have Hugh Jackson, former Browns coach, that came out and said that he was basically paid to also throw games. And you can look at his situation and be like, he makes a strong case where he says, hey, like, after what the first two or three seasons, because I think he was with them for four seasons, after like those first initial season with the team, he sucked. I think they only had like a horrible record, like they didn't win any games, and he's asking like an open question, like, hey, why did y'all keep me? And they kept him to throw the games. So it makes sense. It makes sense when you think about it like that.
And if you look at certain actions, like oh my god, I just forgot what I was going to say. you know, certain plays people call and how certain things are going, you'll be like, why did they do that? Why did they make that call? It's obviously that wasn't going to work and things like that. These play into these are like, that can play into our like suspicion that it could be true.
Yeah. And that's, and the reason it's so like bad because it messes up the competitive balance, the competitive integrity of the game. And the NFL, like they seriously like look at that as a problem. And then what this all stems back to another thing, another conversation that this just adds to the whole scenario is with sports betting and how like leagues and sports leagues are now trying to get more into it. They're trying to implement more sports books into stadiums and all these voting laws. But now you got this situation with a former coach coming out and saying, like multiple coaches coming out and saying, I'm being told to throw games. That's just a big no-no for the NFL. And now they got this big problem on their hand.
Yeah, even with the insinuation that's happening, it's the damage is done.
Yeah, damage is done.
All the, you know, the Pandora's box is open, and it's no matter if it's true or not. Now people have lost faith in the NFL. So that's how I feel.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Definitely what you am like. It sucks. It's just a trash situation because you do want it to just be about football, but we can't escape these conversations because it just goes on and it just constantly happens. And it, you know, the owners think they can just fix situations by, oh, let's put on in our end zone, let's end racism and let's let players put it on the back of their helmets and stuff like that. Like they just throwing these bandages, small, like trying to fix these issues, but these are leaks. Like these are big problems at the NFL, and the NFL is going to continue to deal with it until they just, until these owners like recognize the problem and accept more minorities into the owner ranks. And just one thing I just want to add, and I'll let you go ahead. If it comes to find out that it is true that Steven Ross has been telling Brian Flores to throw games, which he has came out denying, I want to add that because that's important to our listeners. He has come out and denied that. But if it is to find out to be true, is there any way to find out that is true? Then Steven Ross need to be stripped of his ownership immediately.
And right, but you know what that's going to lead to? He's going to start singing.
Oh yeah.
And then there's going to be a whole scandal of what's been told and what's been going on for the NFL in the last 10, 15 years. And then where we go from there? The NFL is tanked. Mm-hmm. You know, I really wouldn't have any kind of skin in the game. I wouldn't want to watch it anymore. I really wouldn't, yeah, if that's the case.
And I'll let you get to your questions that you have for me, like right after this. Just one little thing that I want to say that can literally not just, you know, fix the problem of just racing, the racial issue that's going on in the NFL, but the issues of possibly throwing games, just do what the NBA does. The NBA has a lottery. Just because you have the worst record doesn't mean you're automatically going to get the number one pick. That's the problem the NFL has. So teams are like, oh, we're losing. We're not winning any games. So we can guarantee that we get the best player that they believe in that draft at number one. Whereas in the NBA, you got all these sorry teams all piled together and they get like certain chances to win that number one pick. That is what the NFL needs to do. But yeah, you want to go ahead? Your question that you have for me about the situation?
I mean, since you're a bigger sports guy than I am, I just want to know what's your overall opinion of the whole thing.
Yeah, and you know, like we said, like I talked about, it's a trash situation for the BN. It's unfortunate that we're still dealing with it in 2022, but it's going to be tough for Brian Flores. Unfortunately, it's going to be kind of tough for him to prove and, you know, win this battle, other than the fact that probably with the sports betting, just as far as like with the Rooney Rule practices and stuff like that, it's going to be hard for him to win that. But I know what he's doing. He's basically saying, and he's sacrificing his career to do it. He's saying, I just want to bring, even if the only thing I can do is just bring attention to it, and that's all I do, that's just what I'm going to do. But it's going to be hard for him and his people to prove in the court that we didn't choose him because he's black or any of that. Because at the end of the day, these owners can just say, hey, I feel this is why we chose him over Brian Flores for such and such reasons. And it could be some bullshit to us,
Yeah, like because, he's real sensitive. He's sounding off, making accusations. But like you're saying, it may not be true, but they can spin it and say, okay, he flies off the handle real quick, you know, or something like that.
It sounds like you're a little far away from the mic or something happened.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me now?
It still kind of sounds the same.
Okay, what about now?
That's better.
I must be dropping or something. But go ahead and speak since I got a bad connection. You hear me now?
Yeah, I can still hear you. But okay, yeah. But
it sounds like robotic or something?
Yeah, just a little bit. But anyway, just like I said, it's going to be hard for them to prove because, like, at the end of the day, an owner could say, or a GM could say, we feel his qualities are better. Now, it's a good thing that Brian Flores is doing. He's bringing the situation to light. And hopefully, we do receive some change. Hopefully, we see more Black GMs get hired. Hopefully, to get to see more Black people in ownership positions within the NFL. But just one thing, and I saw someone said this on, I believe it was Facebook or Twitter or something like that. But it's so funny that when these situations happen, Jay-Z is nowhere to be found. You can't get a quote from him. You can't get anything. But apparently he's supposed to be this Black council person with the NFL. He's in Roger Goodell's ear. We got, you know, Black musical acts, you know, headlining the Super Bowl, yada, yada. But he could do all that for you. But when it comes to, like, the issues, the real issues that plagues the NFL, how you have a league that's predominantly Black but have no Black owners, all these issues. But Jay-Z,
you know how I feel about that.
It's when celebrities get up there, it's every man for themselves. They're not thinking about the community or anything. Like, no matter, they throw a bone here and there, they do this and that. It's all about themselves.
Yeah.
So I really don't follow celebrities like that, and I don't really have a big,
you know, expectations of celebrities because they're gonna do what they're gonna do. They're going to dolly about making money at the end of the day. But it is kind of messed up since he made his big presentation that he was like some kind of like segue to change and things like that. But you haven't seen anything or quote.
You haven't really seen him do anything really that needs to be changed. He hasn't done anything really important.
You got a bomb at Super Bowl halftime, though.
We're getting Mary, Mary J. Blige. Like, we getting people now, you know what I'm saying? We getting the peoples. We just not getting the change that we want to see.
But that's our normal routine, music, dance. We get those anyway.
Yeah.
You talking about the big change and the way people view us on a higher scale than playing, you know, in the head coach and owners and stuff like that. We want to see differences in that area.
Yeah, but unfortunately, like I said, we're not going to get that change until we see a Black owner into one of those ownership groups, because at the end of the day, and we know some of those owners a little come here boy.
Well, it's got to be a changing of the guard.
Yeah,
same as in politics. How can someone 70 years old or 80 years old dictate what's going on in the world today? Because you're out of touch. You're out of time.
That's true.
Same thing with the owners in the NFL. These cats have been around since the 1930s, 40s, 50s, 60s. They kind of like got like a tunnel vision kind of thing. You know, I don't know.
And another thing too, it's hard to like convince those owners that change need to be made when they still, the NFL is like the number one product in the US. It's still a booming product. They broke records just in these playoffs. People are still watching these games, and it's just you hope it don't be one of those situations like, oh, we're gonna hear about this probably like the remainder of February, because, you know, maybe it's because it's Black History Month, but it's gonna slowly go away. How the NFL just slowly swept down under the rug that they haven't been checking people for COVID because they want to make sure all the players are going to be available to play.
Yeah, people may not like to hear this, but he's making a valid point that it's an obvious issue that you see no Black owners, you know, Black people in the higher up positions. It's a real issue, and if it wasn't for the Rooney Rule. Do you actually think people would practice
you know, equal opportunity interviewing and hiring processes. Oh, yeah. let me say that again. You think, edit that out. Just go ahead. You know what I'm trying to say. You think without the Rooney Rule, you actually think left up to their own devices that they would, you know, look at everybody equally when they come to hiring coaches and stuff like that. That's a question to you.
Oh, like just the impact of the Rooney Rule itself?
I'm saying, do you think if there was no Rooney Rule, would they actually interview someone of color for the position?
Oh, no, they wouldn't. They wouldn't. I mean, the history is there to prove it. And then,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, just the damning thing about it, like, they had to change the rule, like, what, just last season, so that you can incentivize a person that do hire a minority. Like, one thing that the NFL did, like, if you say that you're grooming, you have assistant GMs and stuff like that, and then they get groomed, they get moved up, a minority now, right, a minority assistant GM. They get moved up, and say if a team go gets them, then that team that groomed that candidate, they're going to get draft picks. So it's just, you got to do all that. You got to do these extra steps just for people of color to be in leadership positions. It's sad.
It is, and I agree with you. And people complain, oh, there's a special thing for people of color, but left up to their own devices, they don't imply equal or fair hiring practices. They just don't. It's proven.
And, you know, like I said, it's all about the money. NFL is still a booming business. Owners feel like they ain't got to change nothing. They pocket still good. So until we are truly ready to make a stand against the NFL, then we might not see that change. But, you know, it remains to be seen.
We got to speak with your wallet. That's what protest is all about. Speaking, you can say whatever you want. But if you still buy the tickets, you still buy the merch, things will keep on trucking. But if you stop buying the merch, you stop tuning into their games, you stop going to their games, oh, they'll be like, okay, now they mean business. Yeah. So we can plan all we want, but we if you still speak with your money and the money saying, oh, they're not too upset, they still buying our tickets and the merch, things gonna continue on. And I agree with you on that.
Yeah. Well, that's that conversation. We're gonna take a real quick short break, and then we're gonna end the show, you guys, with some little quick news topics, because I know Sean is raring to go about his little Batman. So we'll be right back with you guys. All right, Sean, this is your moment. This is your moment, man.
You're gonna be the fanboy about Batman.
This
the
is
new Batman. Just looks awesome.
Yeah,
it looks awesome.
I mean,
I know you said the same thing over and over again. They keep, you know, regurgitating the same Batman story, same Batman look, but it looks good. It looks dark.
You know I'm right, though.
Huh?
I say, you know I'm right, though.
Oh.
It's the same. It's the same story. Same old Bruce Wayne, me, oh my, I got to do all the
crying.
All depressed.
Crying,
yeah, man. Same old, man.
But look. This is different. Look
Tell
at the
how it's different.
Look at the advertisement. It's darker. They go with a red palette, red and black palette instead of, you know, Batman usually black and yellow, black and blue. They go with a black and red palette. It looks more noir and more mystery and more, darker. If you can say you can get any darker than the Christopher Nolan series.
I'm about to say Christopher Nolan is a little dark too. I mean,
but listen, I think they're turning up a notch, because I've seen some like little advertising and little photos, and it looks like a Silence of the Lambs kind of thing, you know. And I'm hoping if they're going that route, that's much darker, and as much is the stakes on the line. And what I can appreciate about what I've seen so far, because all the other Batman movies, he get a little roughed up every now and then. But this Batman, even in the trailers, he goes through it. He gets dirty. He looks like he's getting his hands, you know, right in the mess and stuff like that, and trying to fix it, you know, first person. He don't look all pristine after a fight. He just look like he's, you know,
I'm not gonna lie, Robert Pattinson, he's not doing it for me. I'm not gonna lie. It's just something about him. He just okay. I know you saw that trailer, that little short trailer. That scene they did when he's in like a bank or a courtroom or something like that, and then the car comes through and the guy walks out with the bomb. Funeral. Yeah, the funeral scene. Yeah, man. That I mean, when the guy's like, "Oh, hey, there go Bruce Wayne," I'm just like.
That is getting kind of old.
Corn.
Well, here's the thing. They're taking their inspiration, I heard, is from Kurt Cobain. That's where he drew up from. And he kind of looks kind of grunge in the whole series anyway. So I see what they're saying. So if you take that in consideration, you understand why he's looking that way. But it doesn't excuse that it's still the same. And I agree with you. The same old Bruce Wayne, where the hell you been? You ain't doing nothing for the community, but he going out at night doing this thing. So, how many ways can you do that though?
Maybe they should do something else. I don't know.
They are. They're taking it in a mystery, crime fighting, more dark kind of turn. It is.
Same thing. And I got a question for you. Do you think now that we know it's going to be PG-13, do you think that rating hurts it? Because like you saying, it's going to be possibly grittier and darker, but now we know it's not going to be rated R. So it's like, all right, how grittier is it going to get?
I think so, because the Riddler is they got inspiration from the Zodiac Killer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if you know who that is, but it was a serial killer, and how can you do serial killers in a clean way?
Yeah.
You know, it has to be a little bit of blood, a little bit of, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I got hope for it. I just, Christopher Nolan's collection, I just hold them in such high regard. It's going to be hard for them. It's going to be hard for Matt Reeves to go ahead and, woo me over. But look, I'm optimistic. I'm waiting to see this 3-hour long movie.
To say this. I am a fanboy. I'm a Batman fanboy. Always been since I was a little kid,
Batman pajamas and all, a little Batman lunchbox.
I remember my brother and my aunt telling me, I used to tell people, were you a baby when you was born? I used to tell people I was Batman. That's what I used to say, straight up. It may sound corny, but that's what I used to tell people. I said, no, I wasn't. I was Batman. So you can cut that out.
Corny. I might got to leave that one on.
Who were you when you was born? I said, I was Batman. That's how much of an impact. And I don't understand the gravitas of the attraction of this character. I don't understand that, how the impact on this character has on pop culture. And
he got us in a chokehold,
and it's staying the test of time too. It's just there. Batman will never die as far as being a popular pop culture icon. He's up there with Jesus, man. I mean that. If you had a top 10 who are the most influential, iconic person, place, or thing, Batman would be up in the top 15. I'll guarantee you.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. All right. Next topic. Washington football team. Now the Washington football team on February 2nd, what was that, Tuesday or something like that, just released the renderings, the new rebranding of their team, the Washington Commanders. The Washington Commies.
That's what people cutting it down to. And
And that's where it's going to go. How you feel about the name?
I think the name sucks, but I think the uniforms, I like the uniforms. I like the alternates. I like the color scheme. The logo is very general. I mean, very basic. And I think it works. But the name is not good. I don't like it. I don't like it.
Okay. What do you think? I think, I mean, the uniforms are trash.
What? Uniforms is fire, man. What
you man, to... those look like some little college little sports team uniforms.
But they're playing off the basics of the last two seasons, the Washington football team. I even like...
And that's the problem. And that's the problem. I'm about to get into it. I'm about to cut deep into this. The NFL football is supposed to be fun.
Right.
It's supposed to be fun. You got these fun teams, fun team names. You're supposed to be, you know, use your imagination. They had so many good names to use.
You saw the alternate top six they had to choose from?
Yeah. Red Wolves, the Red Tails. You know, they got so many good, and I understand that they want to continue on with the tradition of the burgundy and gold, or, you know, and yellow, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But it's just so many better stuff that they could have went with other than just Commanders. Commanders is so basic, and it's going to be shortened down to Commies, which is already the bad look for your team and franchise that's already going through multiple sexual workplace toxic allegations and stuff like that. So it's not a good look. I mean, at the end of the day, people just not going to care. People are not really going to care about the name in like 5 years if Washington is winning. But just the way that Washington is going right now, they don't really have too much promise and hope for their franchise. So it's going to be a problem. It's going to be stupid. People are going to look and say, hey, you had 2 years to come up with a name and the uniform and design. And you came up with that. All you did was made the font of your W a little bit bigger, add a little bit of lines here and there, but it's stupid. It's stupid.
I don't have a problem with this color scheme and the alternate logos and the base and the primary logo, but there were better things out there because they had another logo, which played. It wasn't the Washington Football Club that had. What? Did you see that?
Oh no! Like the other
the alternates they had to choose from. They had six other ones they were going with, and they had one called the Washington Football Club, I think. And it had a nice design. It had the Washington Monument in the middle, and they made it so it looked like a football, and the Washington Monument was a stripe in the middle, and they had two yellow stripes going through a football shape. And it looked good. It looked very good. I like that one better. But the Red Wolves is like my third favorite. But some reason, they went with Commanders, and
I mean, it's just, and then when you got your number one draft pick from what last year in a video saying, oh yeah, we choose Commanders, that sucked. Like, that's
he did say that.
And like, that's terrible.
It's
a terrible name. It's a terrible name. But just the funny thing about this is that, I mean, it's not funny. It's in no ways funny what I'm about to say. But I just find it hilarious the fact that Dan Snyder and Washington football team, Jason Wright, who is a black man? I know he's doing good things trying to change the organization around, but for them to think that them doing this big old, we're going to announce like weeks in ahead that we're going to be revealing our brand new stuff and have this brand rebranding, what's the word I'm looking for? Event or whatever. But they think all that's going to wash over what we've come to know in the past couple months. Like, you're all dealing with a whole sexual place. And you just had a new allegation come out yesterday. So, you know, I find it hilarious that they feel like this is going to cover up. But then literally the day after, you have another allegation come out. I mean, it's just, Washington is just a shit. Washington is just a bad organization. I was about to say something else, but I got to remember my grandma was listening.
Right.
it's a bad organization. They're not, it's a bad name, man. I mean, it's not much else to say other than that.
I think it's got a bad stain on it that's going to take a lot of time to get rid of.
Yeah. It's going to take a lot of winning.
Oh, yeah. It's the winner can ease a lot of pain.
Yeah.
But if they're going doing the same thing they've been doing, they're doomed.
Oh, yeah. They're doomed.
And the Commanders just doesn't help any that you choose such an open-ended name like that. It's like, what is that? What does that really mean? You commanding what? So what is that? I can't digest that. It's just so vague to me.
Let's go, Commies. Let's go.
You know that's what happens when they start losing. They're gonna
have a time with that name. Once they start losing, they're gonna have a time with that name. But closing out the show, it's been great having you on, Sean. Really appreciate it. And like I said, we're gonna have you on. We're gonna have you on for more. But
I enjoyed it.
Any big things that you're watching right now? Anything that you want to put the fans on? Anything?
Well, you know, I'm a dark dude, and I watched that that it's not a new season of Dexter, but the last miniseries of Dexter that was really good. It was a really wrap up to the old series back in the early 2000s.
Okay.
I forgot the name of Dexter. Cold. It's like, I forgot the name of it, but it's a miniseries. It was the last, it came out like in January, I think. But it was like a 9-part series that wrapped up the whole Dexter arc perfectly. Yeah. And I think that was a really good series. Not too much, not too little, just right. And it was well written. I think it was really good.
Hey, you heard it from the man's mouth. Hey, y'all go check that out.
If you enjoyed Dexter, that last miniseries is on point.
Yeah, nice. I ain't got too much to add. You know, I mean, ain't much really popping for me. I've been playing the new Pokemon game, Legends of Arceus. It's really a dub for me. If you've been seeing my Twitter, I've been harsh, like just clowning it. I'm not finding the joy in it. I mean, that's a topic for another podcast. But other than that, I've been watching. You know, I'm on that Bachelor, man. Bachelor Mondays, man.
Now I gotta get into what's his name? Peacemaker. I gotta get into
Peacemaker.
That.
Yes. I need you to get into Peacemaker because I think they got about like 2 more episodes. Yeah, I think they got about 2 more episodes, and I need you to finish catch up so we can talk about that because I'm very much enjoying that series as well. I think 2022 has been a good start for a series so far.
Yeah, it's been the entertainment's been pretty decent. I would say.
Yeah,
it's been pretty decent. So yeah.
Well, all right, man. Thanks for coming on. Like I said,
it's been a pleasure,
man. Hey. Can't wait to have you back on again. As always, guys, make sure you follow us at Player Circle on Twitter and IG and send us in. You could DM me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatever. DM me some mailbag questions and we're going to answer them on the next episode. It's been a pleasure. You've been listening to the What's On Your Mind podcast. We are out.
Peace.